Hello and welcome to The Music and the Movies, a program that looks at and listens to the sweet spot where music and movies intersect. In this hour, we ponder the special alchemy that happens when sound meets image, where music lovers and cinephiles come together. We explore a different theme in each episode, arranged around an idea or a person, and we delve into why some of our favorite movie moments are also musical ones. My name is Robert Horton. I'm a movie critic and historian and a member of the National Society of Film Critics. I'll play some music and talk about it in an attempt to get to the bottom of a lifelong fascination with why film is so especially intoxicating when music is involved. And at the end of each show, I'll round things off with the trailer, a particular cut that either didn't fit into the overall flow or has some special meaning to me or just so weird it deserves its own spot. So join us, won't you, for The Music and the Movies. Today's episode, Cats. This episode, we're listening to film music associated somehow with cats. Movies about cats, movies with cats in the title, movies in which a cat plays a key role, even if minor, or songs about cats. We've got them. We're going to see whether there's a cat sound, a purring quality, a slinky chord progression, perhaps, or anything that might make this music to suit cats. Okay, just a spoiler here at the top. We will not be checking in on one of the worst-received film musicals of recent years, the 2019 version of Andrew Lloyd Webber's Broadway musical Cats, because that movie has suffered enough, to say nothing of the rest of us. No, we will give a listen to how movie composers and songwriters have tried to conjure up something feline in their work. And then at the end of the show for the trailer, we'll present one of the dumbest uses of a song with the word cat in the title ever used in a film. You're welcome. I know some of you are saying, but what about dogs? And I think when it comes to movie music, the cats have the win. And I'm not just saying that because my household includes a one-eyed cat named Viv, who monitors the contents of these shows. So yes, I might be slightly biased. Now, the first movie I thought of just has to be my starting place today, because I've always loved this film, and its remake, which we're going to hear from, is pretty good, too. In the early 1940s, a producer named Val Lewton was given a job at RKO Studios. He would make low-budget horror movies and have complete freedom in producing them as long as he used the market-tested titles that the studio gave him. The first of this wonderful and atmospheric series was Cat People, released in 1942. Cat People is a melancholy story about a young woman from Eastern Europe who descends from a race of, cat people who transform into big, dangerous cats. And her problem is, and the movie makes this pretty clear, she becomes a panther when sexually aroused, which means that when she meets a nice guy and marries him, she can't allow herself to get intimate. Despite its title, the movie is surprisingly touching on issues like loneliness and inherited baggage, and is visually gorgeous. For the music, the prolific Roy Webb, who did a lot of those Val Lewton horror pictures, comes through with a theme here that is both romantic and sort of contains the hint of a childhood lullaby that you'll hear. This cue is called Irina and Oliver. Irina being the conflicted young woman in question, played by the French actress Simone Simon.
Thank you.
Music from the 1942 film Cat People, kind of a poetic horror picture. Maybe you can sense it captured in the music there, composed by Roy Webb. 40 years after that film came out, the very distinctive director Paul Schrader, guy who wrote Taxi Driver and directed American Gigolo, decided to do a remake of it and came up with a rather strange beast starring Natasha Kinski. Movie might be a mixed bag, but I can still remember the hair on my neck rising when the eerie opening credits began. The moody music by Giorgio Moroder emerged, soon joined by the voice of David Bowie. In fact, I'm not sure the rest of the movie was able to top that. Here is that song titled Cat People Putting Out Fire.
So green, I can stare for a thousand years, colder than the moon. It's been so long, and I've been putting out fire with gasoline. We'll be right back.
from the 1982 film Cat People. That's the song Putting Out Fire. Music by Giorgio Moroder, who had been the disco king for a few years at that point. Lyrics by David Bowie. Song by Bowie, obviously. David Bowie actually didn't love the production on that track, and he re-recorded it for his album Let's Dance. But I think he was wrong. That version there, that is the keeper. Cat People, both movie versions, presents an extreme depiction of cats in movies, I suppose. There have been a lot of cats in horror films over the years, including multiple versions of The Black Cat, inspired by Edgar Allan Poe. But a more genial presence for a cat, but still with a touch of the supernatural, is found in the 1958 film Bell, Book, and Candle, which a modern-day witch, played by Kim Novak, employs her pet Siamese and familiar, Pie Wacket, to cast a little spell on her neighbor, James Stewart. This is a movie where a cat really plays a major role, so let's enjoy some music written by George Dunning. This cue is titled Pie Wacket Returns. Music from the supernatural romantic comedy Bell, Book, and Candle, composed by George Dunning, who had a long career in film. That cue, Pie Wacket Returns, is named after the movie's cat, who is also named for a witch-related figure in a historical incident involving the 17th century witchfinder crackpot Matthew Hopkins. This is The Music in the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, playing music from films involving cats. Cats have played roles in many Disney films over the years, of course. In fact, I have to say that the one movie that sticks in my memory as probably the first movie I ever saw in a theater was cat-related, The Three Lives of Thomasina from 1963. And that one actually has a pretty catchy theme tune, but I think we're going to opt for the theme song from another Disney picture from a couple of years later, That Darn Cat, which was sung in the film by Bobby Darin, although that version is kind of hard to find. So here we will have the songwriter and sometime actor Bobby Troup. He's the guy who wrote Route 66, among others, doing the likable vocal duties. Troup did not write this song, those duties being handled by the reliable Disney composers Richard and Robert Sherman, but this cut did appear on the film's soundtrack album.
While the city sleeps, every night he creeps, just survey his domain. He roams around like he owns the town. He's the king, he makes that plain. He knows every trick, doesn't miss a lick when it comes to to keeping fat. Some city slicker, no one is quicker than a bad darn cat. Every nook and cranny and garbage can he inspects so thoroughly. When he's on his rounds, nothing's out of bounds to his curiosity. He can smile and purr at a pretty hurt till she don't know where she's at. Knows like a Geiger, oh what a tagger's a bat darn cat. He's a sly old codger, an artful dodger, a scrounger unsurpassed. A ball of fire, a nine live wire who just can't be outclassed. Yeah, this midnight rover, he lives in clover. It's an art he's got down pat. I never was a greater smooth operator than a bat darn cat. Now our cat's been paid every accolade, and he's earned all his acclaim. In a blaze of glory, he ends our story in the Feline Hall of Fame. But the way life goes, in a year who knows, from the family he begat, you may wind up with one of, maybe the son of, a bat darn cat. A bat darn cat. So now you've heard the tale I tell. That's T-A-L-E, not T-A-I-L. I'm talking about the tale of bat darn cat.
The title song from the 1965 Disney picture, That Darn Cat, written by Richard and Robert Sherman, sung by Bobby Troop. Something about that breezy approach seems feline. That movie, too, was remade in 1997. I think one of the most famous movie cats was simply known as Cat. We're talking about Audrey Hepburn's pet in Breakfast at Tiffany's from 1961. That animal also had a piece of music written for it, as Henry Mancini titled one of his cues from the soundtrack, Something for Cat. We'll hear that jaunty piece now and follow it with a Mancini title theme that came a few years later that we won't even bother to introduce here. Thank you. the Pink Panther theme, composed by Henry Mancini, one of the most famous pieces of film music. That was preceded by another Mancini composition, Something for Cat, from Breakfast at Tiffany's. You know, of course, that there's no Pink Panther in the Pink Panther, and that the title refers to a famous diamond that everybody covets, but the cartoon credits in the film proposed an actual Pink Panther that went on to a long career of its own. And Mancini's music feels like maybe the most feline composition in all of film. As long as we're talking about crime and maybe the spirit of cats, I thought I'd include theme music from a 1960 TV show about a reformed cat burglar. Maybe the show only lasted one season because its title was a bit much. Do you remember this one? T-H-E Cat. That was also the name of the burglar, played by Robert Loggia, in that show. Anyway, The Thing had theme music by Lalo Schifrin. This was the same year that Schifrin's music for Mission Impossible debuted to such great effect, 1966. I found a fun cover of the T-H-E Cat theme by the great trumpeter Al Hirt, and we're going to check that out now. Music from a single season TV series called T-H-E Cat, composed by Lalo Schifrin, performed with considerable authority there by Al Hirt. I wanted to sneak in that rarity, and yes, a show about a cat burglar does fit our theme of music about cats, because I think there's a cat-like quality going on there. This is The Music in the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, listening to music associated with cats in the cinema, and sometimes TV. Okay, back to actual cats now, one that became associated with one of the great villains of cinematic franchising. Not only does James Bond's arch-nemesis Blofeld have a white cat, which he pets incessantly, but the cat is actually the way that we experience Blofeld, at least in his first couple of appearances in 007 films. He's an unseen adversary with his lap cat in close-up. We'll take a musical cue from John Barry's 1967 score for You Only Live Twice. In this movie, Blofeld finally leans into the camera frame and is revealed to be Donald Pleasance. This track is called Countdown for Blofeld, and maybe it'll help you picture the arch villain and his fluffy white cat. Music from You Only Live Twice, composed by John Barry, who did a lot of memorable work for the 007 franchise. The character Blofeld and his cat appeared in subsequent Bond movies, too, even in the most recent pair with Christoph Waltz taking the part. Of course, the convention of the supercriminal stroking a cat has also been continued outside 007, memorably in the opening scene of The Godfather, and spoofed in the three Austin Powers movies with Dr. Evil's pet, Mr. Bigglesworth. The power of the cat is explained in the first film, Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery.
That makes me angry. And when Dr. Evil gets angry, Mr. Bigglesworth gets upset. And when Mr. Bigglesworth gets upset, people die!
Mike Myers as Dr. Evil there, showing the importance of cats to the world of supervillainy. And speaking of cats and supervillainy, you might already be thinking of another nemesis, this time a woman in a cat costume making mischief for the Batman over the years. I'm going to resist the temptation to play the moment from the Batman TV series when Julie Newmar's Catwoman, who had a somewhat ambiguous relationship with her assistant Pussycat, played by Leslie Gore, Pussycat then turned around and sang California Sun during one episode, which frankly made no sense, but kind of fit the show. Instead, we're going to play a couple of music cues from big screen Catwoman appearances. First, from the 1992 film Batman Returns, Danny Elfman conjures up Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman with a track called Selina Transforms Part 1. And then from the 2022 release The Batman, the composer Michael Giacchino offers up a cut called Catwoman, inspired by Zoe Kravitz's version of the character.
Thank you.
two Catwoman-related tracks there from the Batman universe. Just now we heard music from the 2022 film The Batman, composed by Michael Giacchino, a composer who's done some really fine inventive work in recent years, I think. And before that, we heard something from Danny Elfman's score for Batman Returns, the second of Tim Burton's Batman films. Both conjure up some distinctly feline energy in their efforts there. Now, here's an inspired example of engaging an unexpected source for a movie theme song. The 1989 adaptation of the Stephen King novel Pet Sematary features various supernatural happenings, notably the death of a family cat who refuses to stay buried in the ancient Indian burial ground nearby. Well, somebody had the bright idea of commissioning the Ramones to create a theme tune for this movie. And the song is pure Ramones, addressing the musical question, who would want to be buried in a pet cemetery?
Under the octopus with the steamboats, ancient goblins and warlords come at the grand line making a sound. The smell of death is all around. And at night when the cold wind blows, no one cares. Addicted to the sacred place. This ain't a dream, I can't escape. Molders and fangs that are picking up bones. Spirits moaning among the tombstones. And at night when the moon is bright, someone cries something ain't right. I don't wanna be buried in a pet cemetery. Live my life again. I don't wanna be buried in a pet cemetery. I don't want to live my life again. I feel a chill. Victor is grinning, flesh is riding away. Skeleton dance, I curse these days. And at night when the wolves cry out, listen close and you can hear me shout. I don't wanna be buried in a pet cemetery. I don't want to live my life again. I don't wanna be buried in a pet cemetery. I don't want to live my life again. Oh no. Oh no. I don't want to live my life again.
That is the title song from the 1989 version of Pet Sematary, written by Dee Dee Ramone and Daniel Ray, performed by the Ramones, a truly inspired choice for a Stephen King adaptation. You're listening to The Music in the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, considering some film music associated somehow with cats. It seemed like we had to include at least a cameo appearance by The Lion Sleeps Tonight, that much-traveled song with a curious history, beginning its existence as a tune in the late 1930s by a South African performer named Solomon Linda, and then a few years later reappearing as a supposedly traditional folk song, now titled Whim Away, performed by Pete Seeger and the Weavers in the 1950s and subsequently covered by many groups. And in 1961, the Tokens had a big hit with some new lyrics added, and the title changed to The Lion Sleeps Tonight. It took decades for Solomon Linda and his descendants now to get proper compensation for actually having written the song. This tune found its way into many movies over the years. Ladysmith Black Mambazo did one version for the Eddie Murphy movie Coming to America, for instance. Here's a little bit of that song that snuck into the otherwise Elton John soundtrack for The Lion King, performed in the 2019 remake here by Billy Eichner and Seth Rogen.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. In the jungle, the quiet jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. The peaceful village, the lion sleeps tonight. Near the village, the quiet village, the lion sleeps tonight. Oh, wee, wee, bum, bum, away. Wee.
Surprise ending there for one of the many versions of The Lion Sleeps Tonight. That one performed on the soundtrack of the 2019 live-action remake of The Lion King. Considering how much of the movie was computer-generated, the term live-action is taken with a grain of salt there. That song originally written by Solomon Linda with various other contributors as it evolved over the years. We said earlier you couldn't avoid Disney on this subject, so we'll just keep going here. Here's another one, this time a real cat anthem, I think you can say, from the 1970 animated film The Aristocats. We'll let Scatman Crothers and Phil Harris and others espouse the philosophy of why everybody wants to be a cat.
Well, little lady, let me elucidate here.
Everybody wants to be a cat, because a cat's the only cat who knows where it's at.
Tell me, everybody's picking up on that feline beat, 'cause everything else is obsolete. Square with a horn makes you wish you weren't born
every time he plays.
But with a square in the act, you can set music back
to the caveman days of jungle.
I've heard some corny birds who tried to sing.
Still, a cat's the only cat who knows how to swing.
Who wants to dick long head dick and stuff like that?
Everybody wants to be a cat. A square with a horn makes you wish you weren't born every time he plays. Oh, a rinky tinky dinky with a square in the act, you can set music back to the caveman days.
Oh, a rinky tinky tinky.
Yes, everybody wants to be a cat, because a cat's the only cat who knows where it's at. When playing jazz, you always has a welcome mat, 'cause everybody digs a swinging cat.
From the Disney cartoon, The Aristocats, that is the manifesto, Everybody Wants to Be a Cat, sung by Scatman Crothers, Phil Harris, Thurl Ravenscroft. That's a guy with a deep voice from How the Grinch Stole Christmas, by the way, and Liz English. That song written by Floyd Huddleston and Al Rinker. Rinker, by the way, knew Bing Crosby in his Spokane youth and was one of the rhythm boys with Crosby. My favorite cat of recent cinema history is the orange cat in Inside Llewyn Davis, the Coen Brothers 2013 film. This cat figures prominently in the Odyssey that Oscar Isaac's hard luck Greenwich Village folk singer, that's the title character, goes on in that film. The cat's name is Ulysses, and his wandering journey seems to parallel that of the human protagonist. Early in the movie, the singer locks himself and Ulysses out of an apartment where he'd slept the night before and where Ulysses lives with his very patient owners. As Llewyn Davis heads downtown on the subway, there's a song playing, which we later figure out is a song that Llewyn recorded with his now deceased partner. But the Coen brothers focus on the cat during the sequence. There's a moment when the cat seems to be memorizing the various subway stops on the way downtown. Strange little moment that will actually be important later in the film. Like all the Coen films, you really have to watch closely to put it all together. Let's hear that song now. It's an old folk tune called Fare Thee Well, or Dink's Song, performed by Oscar Isaac and Marcus Mumford. That is a traditional folk song called Fare Thee Well, also known as Dink's Song, performed for the film Inside Llewyn Davis by Oscar Isaac and Marcus Mumford, also associated in that film with a cat named Ulysses, whose journey in that movie is almost as surreal and mysterious as the main characters. That movie's about many things, but the cat really seems to tie the film together. Our trailer music indicates something a little oddball is on the way here. And this time we go to the cult classic Cabin Boy, starring Chris Elliott, for a famous little instrumental number called Alley Cat. in Cabin Boy, which does have a following. Elliot dances to Alley Cat as he is taunted by pirates. But that in itself is a callback to the song being used on the David Letterman show, where Elliot would turn up in various guises, but in particular had a running thing where he would pretend to be Marlon Brando and perform the banana dance as the band played Alley Cat. Now, if you weren't watching Letterman regularly in the 80s, this might sound like I'm starting to free associate, but really it was gut-bustingly funny at the time, I swear. And it's our excuse to play the song, written and performed in 1962 by Bent Fabric, a Danish jazz musician who did a lot of soundtrack work. Here is Alley Cat. That is Alley Cat, featured in the film Cabin Boy and many other movies and TV shows, composed and performed there by Bent Fabric, which was his real, if somewhat shortened, name. That was not the original title of the tune in Danish, by the way, but some shrewd marketer changed the title for worldwide consumption to Alley Cat, capturing the tune's slinky, cat-like prance. And it went on to chart all over the globe, even won the Grammy Award, get this, for Best Rock and Roll Recording, beating out Sam Cooke for Twistin' the Night Away that year, which is ridiculous, but still the damn thing is hard to shake. All right, that's our survey of cat movie music, which you can take in a lot of different directions, and I hope you and your cats have enjoyed this particular selection of tunes. We'll go out by remembering the opening of Robert Altman's 1973 film The Long Goodbye, wonderful sequence in which Private Eye Philip Marlowe, played by Elliot Gould, attempts to mollify his cat by trying and failing to approximate the cat's favorite brand of cat food. It's a sequence that lets you know that this is not your average Private Eye picture. The title song, composed by John Williams, is rendered in various versions throughout the film, and in this opening sequence has a nice jazz quality that seems appropriate to this elusive and fussy cat. I'm Robert Horton. I thank you for listening to The Music and the Movies.